Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Live from the X Games Aspen, presented by Fireball, here's Mike Evans.
Joining me now is Chris Corning, who is competing in the Big Air snowboard events here in Aspen. And Chris, a pleasure to talk to you again. One of the great local athletes from Colorado, Silverthorne, competing in these X Games. And I want to go back right before Christmas. You won the Visa Big Air World Cup event in Atlanta. You won it with a quad cork 1800. For those who don't know math, that's 5 360 rotations right there. This wasn't on a snow-covered mountain. It was on a 15-story scaffolding. How leery were you attempting this trick?
Well, the jump was really small. So going into it, we had to do a little bit of math. We figured out that basically I need about 2.5 seconds worth of airtime, and that jump gave me about 2.4, like 8 seconds. And so we knew there was enough airtime, and it just came down to if I could throw it hard enough or not. And I ended up doing everything I could to get that trick around. And as the announcer says, I had to muscle it with everything I had, and he couldn't have been more on point with that answer.
That's amazing. So it literally comes down to, you know, that precise of planning and measurements?
I mean, that's what I think so, yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I've started to decide how big jumps are instead of by their length. I've kind of been doing it by time instead, which is a little different than kind of anybody else, I think. And at that time, it helped me. So since then, I've been doing that, and it's been helping out with all of my tricks.
Now, this event in Atlanta, it took place in a baseball stadium.
Yeah.
And you guys do a lot of this as you move around and you promote the sport and you compete. But what's it like performing in venues like that?
Well, that was the first time I've ever done it in a baseball stadium. I had done it in the Bird's Nest in China, but that was a little different just because the people were all so far away, whereas the one in Atlanta, they were so close. So it was awesome, and there were so many people there, and it was so loud. And being able to hear everybody scream while you're standing at the top, you know, it went through my noise-canceling headphones and everything, so which normally those cancel out everything. And so that was really cool. It was something different, but it was awesome to be able to feel the energy of the stadium and get behind it almost.
And it's got to be pretty awe-inspiring that your sport, your events are growing in such popularity that, I mean, you're in Atlanta, of all places,
yeah,
in a baseball stadium, and yet, you know, thousands of people are coming out to see you do this.
Yeah, it's super special. I mean, everything that we do in snowboarding is something different than pretty much any other sport just because we're traveling around the world. And then being able to come back on home soil and show it in front of, you know, people in Atlanta was really awesome just because they've never really seen that kind of stuff in person. And being able to do that, and, you know, we took a few Ubers and we told all the Uber riders about it, and they all were super stoked, and they said they were going to show up. I'm not sure if they did or not, but that was pretty cool to be able to hear them talk about it. And then it was just awesome to be able to be there and show our sport to them and just see all their eyes, and walking back to the hotel and talking to everybody and taking pictures and stuff was awesome.
Spending some time here with Chris Corning. And what you do besides the, I guess, precise math and measurements that go into doing what you do, it also requires a lot of strength to pull off an 1800. You spent the summer, I guess, working with the strength coach of the Dallas Stars. How did that help?
Yeah, I was working down in Landau Performance, and he never worked with a snowboarder before. I was his first one. And at that time, he was just working kind of with anybody that would – work with him. And I went down one time a few years ago with one of my friends that he used to coach football for, and then we just kind of hit it off, and I really liked his style, and I liked that he changed it up for me. And so I went there for years, and then it was sad news the day that I learned that he was going to the Dallas Stars and I'm having to find a new strength coach. But he did an amazing job, and I got way stronger since then. And I mean, he just did, and like I say, a really, really good job, and it made me that much better at snowboarding that much quicker.
All right. Well, now you got to find somebody with the avalanche, I guess, to work with,
I guess,
right?
So, yeah.
I mean, you got to keep it in state, right?
Exactly.
You know, come on.
I know it.
Come on. We don't want to hear about the Dallas Stars, right? That type of thing.
I know.
Speaking of, as a Colorado kid, Silverthorne, well respected, well represented in these games. You got yourself, Kyle Mack, Red Girard. You guys friends, rivals? What's the relationship like?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely friends for sure. You know, they spend a little more time together than I do with them, but they are good friends. And I mean, we travel the world together, so it's pretty hard to be rivals, I guess. But I certainly think that when it comes down to the contest, it is a rivalry for sure. You know, I don't want to let them win, and I know they don't want to let me win.
Now, you grew up in ski country. You grew up in, you know, Colorado ski country. But when did you know that you wanted to make a career out of this?
I didn't really know until I was 15 and I won my first World Cup. I decided that snowboarding is probably something that I could pursue and actually make a living from. Because until then, it was just kind of fun. And, you know, I was pretty young. And I didn't really need to find a job yet. And so being able to just travel the world and make money that way for what I was doing and pay for my way and go to places like that and stuff, I had a great time. And then when I won a World Cup, I was like, maybe I can actually do this. And then I started working that much harder.
So here's a question that probably nobody ever who loves their job ever wants to contemplate. What would you be doing if you weren't a professional snowboarder?
You know, I'm not really sure what I would be doing.
Kind of scary, right?
It is a little scary. I used to play football as a kid, so I mean, I'm sure I would have gone to high school and stayed in the football stuff and played that for a while. But, you know, I don't know what I would do. I'm a big fan of cooking, so maybe I would have, you know, started my own restaurant by now, but I don't know. I don't know if I would have liked cooking as much as I do now just because I wouldn't have been able to have the money to be able to start cooking that kind of stuff. But as of right now, I don't know what I would do.
Well, then,
really different paths, I guess.
Then the next question is, as you continue to look ahead in your chosen profession, Beijing in 2022, you plan on being there?
Yeah, I plan on being there. Do everything I can to get there.
Now, you competed in 2018 and you finished fourth. I have to let me just speak as a fan, and I think for all the people out there listening, they probably found themselves thinking about this as well. Is the idea that here you are, you train, you compete, and the fact that you can compete in an Olympic event where the difference between medaling and not medaling comes down to these, you know, basically infinitesimal type, you know, decimal points, and how do you come to grips with that? How do you handle that knowing that, you know, you finished fourth, you know, so close to a medal?
I don't know how to answer that question. I mean, every time you go to a contest and it being a judged sport, you never know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, you could put your best run down of your life and, you know, end up third. You know, it happened to me when I went to Beijing in China. You know, I put down two of my best tricks. I put down a quad and a frontside 14, and I ended up in third place. Like, so, I mean, you go and do what you can do, and if the judges like it, then they like it, and if they don't, they don't. So just going into it with that mindset, it just, I mean, you got to control what you can control, and, you know, I can't control what the judges do. I can ask them what I did wrong or what I can do better or what I did right, and they can tell me, or, you know, most of the time they don't, but it is what it is, and you just got to go with it and kind of just go with the flow and learn from your mistakes last time and try and fix them for the next contest.
Well, that's
but,
a good,
you know,
that's
we have different judges every time, so you just kind of got to go with it and see what happens.
Yeah, that's a very mature attitude, because I think a lot of people would be like, hey, at least if I compete against the clock and I get beat, all right, the clock is the clock. But the fact that it comes down to you know, human judgment, human observations, that one can be a little bit tougher to swallow. Your X Games bio says you ride with a chip on your shoulder. Is that true? And if so, where does that chip come from?
Well, it is true. I definitely ride with a chip on my shoulder, and it comes from wanting to win. I mean, I will do anything and everything that I can in my power to beat the other people in the contest. And, you know, that if that comes down to adding an extra flip that nobody else is willing to do, then that's what I'm going to do. And that's where it comes to off-season training and being stronger and trying to be stronger than everybody else and, you know, being able to throw the tricks that they can't throw on a small jump like in Atlanta and just somewhat having the guts and to go for it is definitely how I arrive. And if I have a chance to win, I'm going to do everything I can to make that happen. And but then it comes down to the judges. So, I mean, I can do everything in my power to win, but it's up to them.
Well, we look forward to watching you continue to ride with that chip on your shoulder and measuring everything off to the, you know, 1/1000th of a decimal point, which is which is pretty cool when you lay it all out like that. Chris, really enjoyed the time. Best of luck, good health, and continue to enjoy watching you do your thing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Chris Corning, everybody, out here at the Winter X Games at Buttermilk Mountain. Aspen Snowmass as we continue on. Got one more great athlete to talk to, and we've had a chance to visit with a tremendous list throughout the course of the show. We got one more. We're going to talk to Britta Sigourney, who is one of the top skiers on the women's side. She'll join us from the X Games coming up next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.